Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. It's a pleasure to welcome back into our studios here in beautiful downtown Exeter, Rhode Island, members of the Mystic River Chorale. And things are going to be a little bit different now because the Mystic River Chorale has a new president, and he is joining us, and a new artistic director. Our old buddy Frank Martinetti is gone on to greener pastures and is making millions of dollars now working for, well, we don't care, because we have the new artistic director here, another Frank Zanini. I'm sorry. I knew I was going to do Zanini. It isn't Zanini. It's Zellini, right?
Zellini. And thanks for the try.
As soon as I said it, I knew I was going there. Frank has been associated with the Chorale for several years and now is taking over as artistic director. And the president that I mentioned is Tim Rooney. Tim and I have been corresponding for a while, but it's our first opportunity to meet each other. Welcome to the program, Tim.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Great to have you with us. We're going to find out everything we want to know about what the Chorale has been doing, and we're going to have a special guest. The vice president is going to join us in the second segment, and that's Michelle Menser. She'll be joining us and telling us more things about the Chorale. But I want to concentrate today mostly on you, Frank. And Frank Martinetti was many, many years of doing this program, and we knew every little detail about his life. So we're going to start with you. You were born?
I was, in fact, born. 1986, so I'm...
Well, you didn't really have to say that, but that's good. All right, so let's start basically with where did you grow up? What town were you in?
So I grew up as an actual native New Yorker. I was born on 96th Street in Manhattan.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm not supposed to say that. Go ahead.
It was a great place to grow up. I was surrounded by the New York arts scene. My parents were both professional singers. They met doing Gilbert and Sullivan at Symphony Space on 95th Street. And I grew up as the kid of two singers in New York, going to operas and shows and backstage at several of them. So that's how I kind of came up.
And then music was always of an interest then. And did you study music in high school and so forth?
I did. So part of what my parents were up to is my mother was a church musician. She was singing for the First Presbyterian Church in New York City. They have a great choral program. And I kind of grew up with that and the organ there in my ear and consciousness. And I think I was about 5 or 6 years old, and that's when I really heard the organ for the first time and said, huh, that's something that I feel like I want to do. And now, however many years later, I am doing it. it was a great place to kind of come up.
Right. And then college, studied more in college?
I did. I did my undergraduate in organ performance and choral stuff kind of peripherally as part of that course of studies at Oberlin College out in Ohio.
And you've been associated with the Chorale for what, about 5 years now or 6 years?
That's about right. I think I moonlighted with them once singing the Foray Requiem, and that was, what, 2015? Mm-hmm. And then I joined the staff as their accompanist in 2016. A couple of years later, after I had kind of developed a really good working relationship with Frank Martinetti, they decided to, you know, throw me on the podium here and there and elevate me to associate artistic director. And that was just a great opportunity, especially under Frank Martinetti's mentorship, to just really kind of cut my choral teeth and really develop that set of skills.
Now, both you and Frank were not living near the Mystic area as far as working with the chorale, so it's a commute for you, right?
Yeah, it's a bit of a schlep, but, you know, it's a great great time to kind of think about rehearsals and then on the way back not think about rehearsals.
Right, there you go. For you Rhode Islanders that are listening, schlep means it's a problem.
A problem in motion.
Right. All right, well, that's great. Thank you for that background. And Tim, we'll find out just a little bit about you. We've had several presidents of the organization here over the years. And your background is what? Do you live in the Mystic area?
I live in the Mystic area, yes.
And grew up there too, or?
Most of the time. We grew up in Manchester.
Manchester, Connecticut.
Yep. Okay. And then the summers down in Mystic.
Yep. Yeah. And what brought you into the Mystic River Chorale?
I had left New York after 20 years, came home, and looked for a place to sing. And
okay.
I sang first with them on the Messiah concert.
So the Messiah concert was that the attraction or just singing in general?
Absolutely. I love that piece, although it's tough on sopranos.
All right. So how long have you been with the group?
So that would be since 2019.
Oh, so you're a new guy.
Rather new, yep.
Yeah, because as soon as you came, everything closed down.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that says about me. But, yep, Kit Foster was our president then.
Mm-hmm.
And I stepped in as VP. Okay. And then during COVID, I became president, or actually slightly before COVID, I was brought
in
as president.
Yeah, I know how that goes. All right. Well, we have quite a selection of music here that Frank has assembled for us, and I want to get to a piece of that before we go much further. We'll talk a little bit more about the chorale and what they're up to after this first piece. Frank, tell us what you brought for us.
So I intended to kind of bring in a little musical biography, again, of kind of where I've been, what I've done, what I'm about, and the sounds that really shaped me. And this first set of pieces comes from the First Presbyterian Church that I've mentioned. They're pretty well recorded. And this is Hassler's Verbum Caro Factum Est. Following that is a couple of spiritual settings by Nancy Wirch, who is a great New York area composer and has enjoyed a long relationship with First Presbyterian Church. That's Deep River and Ride on King Jesus. And following that, we'll go to something from my Oberlin years. That will be Ray Fun Williams' setting of Lyndon Lee as performed by the choir of New College, Oxford, director Edward Higginbottom.
All right, we'll listen to those pieces, then we'll be back with more of the Mystic River Chorale.
Thank you. No man can hinder me. King Jesus rides in the middle of the air. He calls the saints from everywhere. For he is King of kings, for he is Lord of lords. Jesus Christ, the first and last, no man works like him. For he is King of kings, for he is Lord of lords. Jesus Christ, the first and last, no man works like him. Jesus.
Mystic River Chorale is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, pleased to be sitting with members of the chorale, and Tim, the president, has stepped out of the room for a moment. He's decided to be part of the peanut gallery as we introduce to you Michelle Menser, who is vice president. Welcome to the program, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
Nice to have you with us. And what does the vice president of the Mystic River Chorale do other than wait for Tim to go away?
What don't I do? Do a lot of various things. In charge of different policies, coming up with different policies, managing web.
Well, you
social
do have
media,
a beautiful website, by the way. I will compliment you on that.
Thank you. It's fairly new.
And it's up to date, which is unusual for a lot of artistic groups during the pandemic. things have been kind of sliding away and people aren't paying attention. But I checked yours out, and there's a lot of great information there, information about the corral and what to do, and that's mysticrivercorral.org,
that
right?
That is correct, yes.
So not tough to remember.
No.
Now, how long have you been with the corral?
I have been with the corral. I am beginning my, much too long, 26th year.
26? Yes. So you started when you were four?
Yes, let's go with that.
Okay,
that's fantastic,
right.
That's, yes.
26
yeah.
years
yeah.
in the corral.
Yeah.
And grew up in the Mystic area?
I did not, although I've been here for about 30 years, but mm-hmm. I'm actually from New Hampshire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's better than New York. I was kidding.
He
Frank
said it. I didn't say it, but I will agree with you, sir.
There you go. What part of New Hampshire?
Southern New Hampshire, so Plastow, right off 495.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you with us, and I'm sure the corral is very happy to have you. And there are about how many members to the corral right now?
I would say between 35 and 40. It varies. Okay. We've been as high as 90, but we hang around the 45 to 50 number typically.
All right. Frank, I know we talked a little bit about your background and so forth, but let's just touch on the corral for just a minute before we get to our next piece of music. I asked about how many members there are. One of the things that happens in most groups like yours is that there are frequently new people and some people leaving, they're moving away, things are happening in their lives. So are you going to be open to bringing new people into the group this year?
Absolutely. We have auditions coming up on September 13th, and you can get in touch with us on our Sing With Us page on our website, which is mysticrivercorral.org, and leave us a message, and we will get you scheduled to come in and sing.
Now, is the corral open to both male and female, obviously, right? And then there's no gender requirements one way or the other? Or are you only looking for females sometimes, only looking for males sometimes, or does that probably not happen?
No, we are a come-all choir. If you can sing and carry a tune, then you've got a spot with us.
Really? So what about reading music and so forth?
Yeah, we've got a wide variety of abilities there. There are some very fluent readers and some people who are more geographic readers. They can tell when it goes up and down, and then they kind of learn by rote.
I have to remember that term, geographic reader. I like that.
That's one of my other jobs, though, is I come up with files and tools that people can utilize to, if they learn by hearing mm-hmm. or...
So in preparation for a piece, you might give them a CD to listen to or an audio file.
Or MIDI files, correct, yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And so that's going to take place on September 13th. And that's not in preparation for a concert this fall because your next concert isn't scheduled till the spring, right?
That's right. Our concert this season is scheduled for May 15th. And we're doing that very... very purposefully in that we usually present two concerts per year. But this year, we're deciding that we're going to spend the bulk of our time rebuilding voices, the muscles that have atrophied over the last year and a half of not singing.
Sure.
So we're going to take our time and really slowly and consciously build back our both the vocal coordinations and the actual muscles. And also we're going to take this time to build some reading skills, some musicianship skills.
Okay, great. Well, let's get to another piece of music. And this next one will be familiar to just about everybody. They probably heard it at one time or another in their lives. One of the interesting things I found out is that I always thought it was, an American folk song. And I found out that there's no real author to this piece. I'm not sure if maybe you have more information about it.
No, that's news to me. This piece is a favorite among American college choirs, and it's near and dear to my heart for that reason. Kind of takes me back. This is James Erb's arrangement of Shenandoah, and here it's sung by the Westminster Choir under Joe Miller.
We will bow to thee.
Beautiful music, Shenandoah. And now we're going to have one more piece in this segment. But before we let Michelle go, I do want to mention, once again, referring to the website, that it is beautifully done and that there is a page, I noticed, where donors show up. And like any arts group, I would presume the Mystic River Chorale would accept donations if somebody wanted to make them.
If you twisted our arm hard enough, yeah. Like many not-for-profits, and we are a not-for-profit, we get money by ticket sales, by member dues, but that barely scratches the surface. And so we really, really rely on donations from outside corporations and donors. So, very important.
Do that by going to mysticriverchorale.org, right?
Correct.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. And Frank, let's get to you for this next piece of music in this segment.
Yeah, this next piece is Louis Vierne's Messe Solennelle, the first movement, the Kyrie. And this is Don Marler leading the choir of West End United Methodist Church in Nashville and Andrew Reisinger at the organ.
And why is this important to you in your chronology here of your life of music?
So I'm actually singing on this recording as well as the next.
See how I picked that up?
Yeah, I worked with this group in 2011, 2012, and I was the third organist on staff. So I was the gopher for the gopher of this particular organization. And it was a great time in my life. Nashville is an incredible town for any kind of music, even sacred music. And this piece was just a tremendous achievement. It calls for two organs, which the space actually had the capacity to do. So the choir is in the gallery with a smaller organ, and then the large organ that you hear is the main instrument up front.
Excellent. Let's listen to that, then we'll take a short break and be back with more. Mystic River Chorale, the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, having a pleasant evening listening to a lot of music that Frank has brought with him, the new artistic director, and Tim, the president, is back in the seat to tell us about some more things about the chorale. And Tim, in your transition, taking over from Kit, one of the things that happened was you lost your accompanist because that was Frank's job, right?
Yes. Yep. And you don't want me on the piano. So, yeah.
So is someone, I presume, is taking over now in that position.
Yeah, we are absolutely excited. We have David Gilliland. David is a Eastman and a University of Minnesota graduate. He's on the faculty for URI, and he's our accompanist as of this season, our 38th season.
So he's right down the road from us here. We should have brought him in.
Well, we hope in a future podcast with you, we'll introduce some other.
All right. And this next piece of music, does that have to do with him?
So the next couple of pieces will be looking ahead as to what we're up to as a chorale. These are a couple of pieces that we programmed for our spring concert. And Tim, this piece is from one of the groups that you have sung with.
The next selection, written in 1929 by Healy Whillen, an English composer who spent most of his life in Toronto, Canada, is an a cappella setting to the Song of Solomon and is dear to my heart. I'm thrilled Frank has selected this motet for our spring concert. The recording you will hear is from 2001 during a private birthday concert celebrated by several of us singers in Manhattan in the gorgeous sanctuary of the Roman Catholic Church of the Ascension, which is located in the Upper West Side, not far from where Frank, our artistic director, grew up. I believe it is a call for us to rise up again and sing.
Tim, when I was talking to Michelle about sponsors and so forth and donations, the group has also been fortunate to receive some other support, right?
Absolutely. We're very proud that we are recipients from a 2021 grant from the Connecticut Office of the Arts.
Wow. So that helps a lot. Because Frank's salary at, $80,000 an appearance.
Exactly. That's
you told me it was just cigarettes.
No, but it does take a lot to keep the group going, and that's great that the arts is supported that way. Frank, we have time for one more piece of music, and before we do that, I know there are some other things that people can do other than singing with the chorale on a semi you know, regular basis. There are small groups.
That's right. Within the group, we have a more rigorously auditioned a subgroup called Chamber Singers. We specialize in mostly a cappella repertoire, stuff that is a little bit more challenging to throw together.
A cappella is much more difficult.
This year, we've decided that we are going to allow singers to join only the Chamber Singers if they audition into it. They will not be required to sing for the larger group. So if there's anyone who has been hesitant to join because of the large time commitment, I'm speaking as a young parent. I have very little of that, but you know, anyone who can make an hour's commitment can make some really great choral music with us with Chamber Singers. The audition information is the same. Just get in touch with our chorus manager.
Excellent. All right. Sounds like a great opportunity. All right. Well, I want to thank you all for being here. We want to thank Michelle and Tim, and especially you, Frank, for making the time and the long trip. And hopefully we'll see you again very soon when things again, quote-unquote, return to normal. But right now we'll be interested in your rehearsing and getting the groups back in shape and that performance in May. And we have one more piece of music. Tell us what this is going to be.
All right. This is a setting of a Shaker tune called Followers of the Lamb. And this is Philip Dieterich's arrangement. Performed here by Seraphic Fire and Patrick Dupre Quigley leading.
Excellent. Thank you very much, and we'll see you all next time on Conducting Conversations.
Oh, brother, ain't you happy? Oh, brother, ain't you happy? Oh, brother, ain't you happy? Followers of the Lamb. Oh, brother, ain't you happy? Oh, brother, ain't you happy? Oh, brethren, ain't you happy, followers of the Lamb? Sing on, dance on, followers of Emmanuel. Sing on, dance on, followers of the Lamb. Sing on, dance on, followers of Emmanuel. Sing on, dance on, followers of the Lamb.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.